Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Psalms. Psalm and Psalm 81. Psalm 81. As we finish off the rest of the year, we're going to be going back to our kind of irregular series of labor in the church, of just hitting some of these random messages that encourage us that we can all have a part to play inside of the work of God. And we know that one of the most important works of God, one of the works that we can do, the biggest labor we can do, is pray. And we find more about it as an encouragement in the book of Psalm and Psalm 81. Psalm 81. And if you don't mind, let's pick it up in Psalm 81 and in verse number 7. Psalm 81 in verse 7, the Bible says this: Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel. If thou wilt hearken unto me, there shall be no strange god be in thee, neither shall thou worship any strange god. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, will you mark a phrase that we find in the book of Psalm, Psalm 81, at the end of verse number 10, where it says, Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. And if you don't mind, I'd like to ask a question based off of this. How big is your mouth? God promised that if you open your mouth wide, that he would fill it. How big is your mouth? Let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, Lord, we're just asking that we would see you high, holy, and lifted up. That we would see you as the magnificent Creator God who can do all things. Forgive us for our lack of faith. Forgive us for the times that we're not trusting in you. Forgive us the times that we have our eyes on you or have the eyes on circumstances that they seem so big and you seem so small. Help us to see that you are a big God and that by faith we could test, we could put you to the test, we could prove you, that you would show yourself to be real. As we open our mouth wide and ask for these impossible prayers, ask for these big prayers, ask for these prayers that are bigger than us, that you can show yourself to be a wonderful God. Thank you, Lord. Encourage us even now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have a God who is a big God, and we say that, and sometimes we believe that. But then we come to a circumstance that just stares us in the face. And we look at the circumstance. Maybe it's a bill, and we say it's way too many zeros. There's no way I can handle this. Maybe it's some type of crisis. Maybe it's something with health. Maybe it's just dealing with a family member. Maybe it's dealing with someone who's so far away. Maybe it's dealing with a future event. Maybe it's dealing with the unknown. But there are so many things that cause us to stop and get our eyes off of God and look at the situation, and we see just how big that thing is. And at that time when we're looking at that big issue, that big circumstance, that big bill, that big disability, that big hurdle, that big obstacle, we forget how big of our God that we have. Amen. That we go back to having no faith. And we cry and complain and just say it can't be done. And that lack of faith keeps us from even trying, from depending on God, from even asking it. It's just too big. And we get on our mind from time to time that God has limits. And we forget that we have the God of all of the universe. And there is nothing too big for him. As we look in this passage, we lead up to this. First of all, we see for God to answer big prayers, it requires obedience. For God to answer big prayers, it requires obedience. Notice, if you don't mind, in verse 7. Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. Isn't that wonderful? When we just call out, he will answer. Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I will answer thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee. This word proved carries the idea that they were put on a trial. They were put to the test. They were at the place to see what they would do. You know, there are many times that God puts a situation in our way just to see what we're going to do. Are we going to complain? Or are we going to trust by faith? You see, you live your life one of two ways. You live your life by force, or you live your life by faith. When we live our life by force, we feel like it's all up to us, and so we scheme, manipulate, plan, work, fight. And it is a rough life because all you do is thinking about, how do I make this work? How do I fix this? How do I do this? And you come up with your plans and you come up with your schemes. And when it's all said and done, they don't work anyways. And you spent so much time and so much effort trying to solve it yourself because you live your life by force and not living your life by faith. And God puts situations in our path to see if we are going to trust in the God that we claim in, or if once again we resort to saying it can't be done. We live our life by force, or we live our life by faith. For the children of Israel, where God is referring to, I proved thee at the waters of Meribah. So in the wilderness, God had brought the children of Israel, had brought them out of Egypt, and now they were wandering around inside of the desert. And in the desert, there was not a Quick Trip. There was not a Walmart. There was not a Costco or Shopko. There weren't water fountains built for them so they could survive the trek across the desert. They had nothing. And at this time, there are 2.5 million people. In order to keep 2.5 million people fed, it would take 1,500 tons of food a day to feed them. And remember, they don't have crops. They're nomads. They're traveling around. God had to supply, and of course, God did supply by bringing manna from heaven every day, a miracle every day. But we know you can't just live on food alone. You need water. And when you're traveling around, you can't travel with a lake. You can't travel around. You don't have a river flowing. This is a desert. And so people are thirsty. And God says, I did it to prove them, to see if they would trust God, the God of impossible. Now remember, it wasn't unprompted. They had watched God perform miracles of the 10 plagues of Egypt. They had watched God part the Red Sea. And so it wasn't that they were trusting God that they had never seen work. They were trusting in God who had shown himself faithful time and time and time again. By the way, hasn't God shown himself faithful to you time after time after time after time? And God says, all right, they've gotten practice. They know that I'm real. Let's put them to a test and let's see if they can pass this test. Will they trust God or will they complain? When we complain, all we're doing is saying God has not been good to me, that God is not good and God is not right. Now, God is always good and he's always right. And we get to this place and we complain. And God says, I could have answered at any time. I put this to here to see if you are grown enough, mature enough, spiritual enough to say, you know what? This is no big deal at all. We could trust God. Or if you're going to say, oh, no, God, it's so horrible and it's so wrong. And what are we going to do? And I just don't know. And I'm just going to give up. And I just, we either live our life by force or we live our life by faith. And sometimes God, unprompted, meaning that it's not because of sin. It's not because the earth is shattering. It's not because of disobedience. He just wants to see if you're going to respond well. So here's a trial. Here's something for you. Let's see if will you believe in God or not. And so, brought him out there. No water. So the people said, we're not going to have water. We're going to die. It'd be better for us to be in Egypt. And they complained and they murmured. Not once did any one of them have a big idea. Hey, you know what? Maybe we should pray. I mean, God parted the Red Sea. This is nothing to him. This is the Creator God. Nope. They complained and they murmured and they defaulted. By the way, unfortunately, that's still our default. We love to complain. God had fed and watered these people. He made it so their clothes didn't fall apart for 40 years. He made it so their shoes lasted. He gave them guidance and protection. And still, when they came to this hard time, they complained. For God to hear our prayers, there is an expectation that we'll be obedient to him, trusting in him, starting with the idea that we should pray. But as we build upon that, if you believe that God is a God who could hear and answer prayers, then there should be something in our part that we'll behave like he is a God who hears and answers prayer. It is always fascinating to me to have someone come up and say, preacher, can you pray for me? Okay, what about? I've got this big impossible prayer and I don't know how I'm going to handle this. And they give the prayer request. Can you pray? Sir, we could certainly pray, but what are you going to do about it? I don't necessarily say that, but there's an implication. And those same people who have these big impossible prayers don't show up to church. These people who have these big impossible prayers, God, I need God to answer. But they won't read their Bible. They won't pray. And part of the test that God is saying there is not will you find someone to pray, but will you believe and trust me to pray for yourself? God is not testing pastors' faith with your financial issues. He's not testing the most spiritual people in the church with your family issues. He's testing you to see if you're going to respond well, to see if you're going to respond well to God, to see if you're going to trust God for these impossible prayers, to see if you could line up with God's will, pray, and do what he said and said, Lord, because I believe you're going to answer prayer, I'm going to respond by doing what you've told me to do. Amen. I could trust you to do your part. You tell me what to do and I'll do my part. You see, there is an idea of faith where there's feet to our prayer, that there is a change of behavior. Anyone can pray for $1 million. It's a different thing to say, Lord, I believe you're going to give it to me because it's your will, because we need it, because of this thing here. And so much so, I'm going to obey you like you're already going to provide it. Amen. That's part of the test, part of the proving, part of the other thing. It is easy to complain and whine. It's even easy to find someone you could say, please pray for me. But if you're not willing to do something about it by obeying, then it doesn't work. It is your trial of faith for you to see that there's a God who hears and answers prayer. That you get to talk to that God yourself and respond with that. Again, it is amazing to say all the impossible prayers that are given to me and then say, well, how come you're not in church? How come you're not reading your Bible? How come you're not whatever else? And they wonder, well, God didn't answer my prayer. Well, you didn't show up to church. You haven't been in your Bible. You haven't been doing anything. No wonder. Now, again, I'm not being mean. There's an expectation. Is there a real God in heaven? God is not our genie. God is not our servant. He is God, and we're his servant. And we're to respond to him as if he is our God. And he does put his people to the test to show them that they should be trusting in him and that they can trust in him and that we behave like he is. A second thing, for God to answer our big prayers, it requires entrusting in God alone. For God to answer our big prayers, it requires to trust in God alone. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse number 9. Sorry, in verse number 8 goes with what he said before. Hear, O my people, and I will testify thee, O Israel, if thou will hearken unto me. There's that obedience. God says, if you hearken to me, I'll be glad to answer big in prayers for you. Verse 9, there shall be no strange God. There shall no strange God be in thee. Remember, the word strange here is something that doesn't belong to you. Well, if you've accepted Christ, then you belong to Jesus, not to any other strange God. Neither shall thou worship any strange God. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Now, when we need to answer a big prayer, sometimes what people do is cast a net out to see who answers the prayer. To see who will answer. I heard of a girl once who wanted a doll for a Christmas present. And so her mom said, well, I encourage you to pray. Ask God. So, God, I want this dolly and this is where it can be found. Please answer my prayer. Mom says, why are you shouting? God's not deaf. Yeah, but grandma is. Who was that girl talking to? To grandma, of course. Casting out a net, trying to see, Pastor, oh, I could really use some help with car payments. Can you pray that God would take care of the car payment? Who are you asking? You're hoping that pastor says, well, let's do a love offering to take care of them. You know, sometimes we do that, and it's because we're looking for someone to answer prayer. We get into desperation, and that we're not trusting in God and God alone. We're hoping that somehow the mailman shows up and brings something, and we're depending on the mailman. Ever been those places of desperation when you used to check your mailbox and, please, maybe someone today just sent me a magical letter somewhere, and you're depending on the post office. You're depending on something else rather than trusting in God and God alone. God is a God who alone wants our worship. God does not want to share credit with anyone. And when we pray and depend upon him, he doesn't want us to be depending on something else. He wants to be the one to answer it, so he and he alone gets the credit and the glory and the honor and the worship out of it. God is a God who hears and answers prayer. And we can trust in him. But we have to depend upon him and him alone. And believe in him and act like he is the true and living God. So we start off by saying that if we are going to see big prayers answered, it requires us to be obedient. If we're going to see big answers prayer, it requires us to believe in God and God alone. A third thing, and this is where we're going to spend the rest of the time. If we are going to see God answer big prayers, it requires us to trust by faith. What is faith? Faith is looking unto Jesus. Faith is putting our hope and confidence in him and him alone. Where do we get faith, by the way? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Whenever you find yourself at a loss of faith, get back in the word of God. Whenever you get to the place where you said, I just don't know if God can, get in God's word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When we find ourselves lacking faith. Now, by the way, I know this, that when we see that circumstance and it's right there staring us in the face, that we feel so weak and we feel like we can't read our Bible. We're so anxious and so worried and so fretful that we read and there's words on the page, but the whole time we're thinking about the problem. You see, those things keep us from God's word. Whenever you get to the place where you're reading God's word and after reading like a couple pages and you look and say, what did I read? You didn't read. By the way, that's exactly what our flesh is trying to do. Our flesh, who works against us, it is baffling. Our flesh hates us. You're like, nuh-uh. Oh, your flesh wants to fool you. Your flesh wants to convince you that it's got your best interest in heart. But your flesh is going to keep you away from going to God. Your flesh is going to keep you from reading your Bible effectively. You're going to read and say, I read my Bible today. I don't know what I read, but I just have this thing and it just won't go away. Well, you don't have any faith. You haven't been trusting in God. You haven't been in God's word for yourself, seeking after him. When you find yourself getting dried up in faith, when you find yourself starting to get so weak spiritually, when you find yourself so anemic and powerless, you have to be in God's word even more, and you have to do it purposely. And you say, I'm going to be honest, I don't want to read my God's word. I know it. I read it and I try and it just doesn't work. Yeah, your flesh is strong. And no wonder you're having a hard time trusting God for the impossible prayers. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by God's word. We get our faith from God's promises about answering prayer. That when you trust God by faith, he answers prayer. When he answers prayer, you go, look at what God did. And you're able to trust him for a little bit more and a little bit more. We get our faith from realizing that God is big enough to answer our prayers. If you don't mind, I'd just like to do a quick walkthrough of several things in the Bible of impossible prayers and see what God had to say concerning it. Turn with me if you don't mind. We're going to look through a lot of passages and we're not going to spend a lot of time. So this will be a good Bible sword drill for you to find them quickly. Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. In Genesis chapter 18, God promised Abraham a child of promise. And that was fine when Abraham was young, but now that he's getting older, you know, that becomes more of an impossible prayer. He looks at his wife, Sarah, and she's still good looking, but he says, you know, she's kind of past that period in life. She's already been past the change. He says, this doesn't work out biologically, physically. That's why God's the miracle business. And so God pulls aside Abraham and he says something simple. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 14. Genesis 18 and verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But notice what God said. Is anything too hard for thee? Put that anything is a placeholder. Is anything too hard for thee? Is that bill in the mail too hard for thee? Is that decision you need to make too hard for thee? That impossible request, is that too hard for me? This is a great verse because you could take that anything and you replace it with your situation. And just God's asking, is this too hard for me? Is it too hard for me? Of course, the answer is no. There is nothing that is too hard for them. Everything is possible with God. Turn with me, if you don't mind, Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah preached for 40 years. And his main message is that Babylon is coming. Submit to Babylon. Babylon's going to come and destroy things. He's going to wipe things out. You've had your chance. It's done. And so, when Babylon is about ready to come, God has something strange occur with Jeremiah. That God directs Jeremiah to buy property. Now, if you knew the Titanic was going to sink, would you invest in buying your own room on that ship? That doesn't make sense. And so God says, Jeremiah, go buy some property. And people are like, what is this? Well, see, God is looking beyond just the destruction. God made a promise that the people are going to return. And as a good faith promise, as a gesture of the impossible, God says, buy property, and I want you to go ahead and make provisions to make sure it's protected so it's not taken away. And when you come back and your descendants come back, guess what? That property's there. Here's proof of it. You bought property with the promise that God is going to come back and restore. Now, that's a big promise. That's a big deal. Notice what God has to say concerning this, chapter 32. And notice with me in verse 17. He says, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. In the Bible, you often see this phrase of a stretched out arm. This is a symbol of power. With God's stretched out arm, it's showing that God has the power just stretching out his arm. Remember, what was required for the Red Sea to part? For Moses to stretch out his arm over the Red Sea, and it parted. God opened it up. Here it's just a symbol. All God has to do is stretch out his arm. That's all it takes for the impossibly done. God has a strong arm and he can get it done. Nothing is too hard for thee. Notice again in the same chapter, verse 26. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard? Hard for me. Praise the Lord that the answer is absolutely not. There's nothing too hard for thee. God is putting Jeremiah to the test, telling him to buy some property on a land that's going to be destroyed with the idea by faith that God will bring the people back. That was unheard of. That was something that if a country came and took the people away, they're gone forever. And God was going to bring them back. Notice as God follows this up in Jeremiah 33:3. If you've never marked this passage in the Bible, start it, underline it, did something to it, that'd be good. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That God promised here, you call unto him for big prayers, impossible prayers, and God is able to do it, not just to your expectations, but beyond your expectations. We have a big God. Well, Jesus gets on in this and teaches his disciples the same thing. The gospel record of Matthew chapter 21. The gospel record of Matthew chapter 21. Gospel record of Matthew 21, and notice with me verse 22. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Notice that word believing. What are we believing? Not believing in the magic of prayer, but believing that there's a God in heaven who's able to do the impossible. Do you believe that God can? Do you believe that God will? Do you believe that this is what God would desire? We can trust God with impossible prayers. Believing, that's probably our biggest problem, is that we don't believe. We can ask but not believe. We could ask, kind of like when you were teenagers and you asked for the keys to your parents' car. You asked, not believing they were going to give it to you. But you asked anyways. We should be able to go to God believing that he can and he will, especially if we're believing that this is lining up with God's will. We could ask the impossible because God is the God of impossible. Notice the gospel record of Mark. Jesus teaches some more. The gospel record of Mark chapter 11. The gospel record of Mark, chapter number 11. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse number 22. The gospel record of Mark, chapter 11, verse 22. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, shall no doubt in his heart. Notice that. Shall no doubt in his heart. But believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that you have received them and that ye have them. Notice this. If you believe that you receive them, what is an evidence that you received them? You being thankful. Somebody gave me $100, I should turn around and say, thank you. I received it. Do you believe that God can hear and answer prayer? Do you believe enough by faith that you could thank him in advance? I'm working on a sermon. It'd be a while before I preach it, but I've been ticking around for this for a while, mulling over, meditating it, about the secret of answer to prayer by being thankful. Amen. Learning to say thank you to God in advance, before you even receive it, by faith, believing you have. To be thankful for it already. Most of us want to hedge our bets. I'll be thankful as soon as I get it, but I don't want to thank God before them. I don't want to. But there's something to it. I believe that God is going to supply it, and I could, by faith, thank God in advance for it. You know, that requires a little bit more faith, if you're going to be honest. I mean, because we all say thank you for getting things that we don't want. We've all been programmed. Thank you. Thank you. Someone bumps into you. Oh, thank you. You know, we know sarcasm. Yeah. We know how to say words and not mean them. But there's something when you could genuinely thank God in advance for answering that prayer that you believe is his will. Now, again, you can thank God all you want for a red Lamborghini, but I'm probably saying it's not God's will for you to have a red Lamborghini. That's not going to help the kingdom of God and you advance forward. But can you thank God for the things that you believe is God's will and that you need inside of the ministry, inside what God would have you to do, and to pray and say, Lord, this is something I believe that we could use in the church. This is something that I believe we could use to help me to advance forward in the work of God. That I could thank God in advance, believing I've received it. I think if we, again, I'm working on this message and I'm meditating, so just allow me just to take a moment. You know, I'm not using notes tonight, so you never know where I'm going. But the idea to thank God in advance in sincerity, I think it's powerful. I think that's something that we're afraid to do. Because we're afraid we're going to be foolish. We're afraid we're going to be wrong. And all that does is reveal how much doubt we really have. To thank God in advance. To be thankful for him. Again, I'm formulating a message, but I think there's enough Bible that I could really preach it with confidence. And this is one passage where we could do that. Believing that you received it. Do you believe that you received it enough to thank God for it? Well, maybe not that much. We have a God who is the God of the impossible. And we could watch God work. Mark chapter 9. Going back a couple chapters, we have the distraught father who brought his demon-possessed boy to the Lord Jesus. And out of desperation, he calls unto the Lord. Notice with me Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. What does the word all mean? All. All. We don't believe that. Now again, it's one thing to say that God can answer little prayers because, you know, we see him do that. All things. We are afraid to step out by faith for the all things, for the impossible prayer request. By the way, as we're preaching this, I'm hoping that you have some things running in your mind. I hope that you're going through and say, you know what? All I see is a project with too many zeros and it doesn't match my bank account. All I can see is someone who is so far away. No hope. All things. All things. We have a line that we usually say, we could trust God down here, but beyond that line, that's just too much of impossible. All things. All things. This is easy to preach, very, very hard to practice. Because we can get really excited, then we go home and look on our bank accounts and say, well, yep. We go home and say, well, there's that troublesome coworker who's still giving me issues. They didn't go away. We can trust God. We can trust God to work. Notice with me, if you don't mind, the gospel record of John chapter 14. Remember in John chapter 14, Jesus is not talking to the masses. He's not talking to the crowds. He's not talking to the plural disciples. He has his 12 disciples, the 11, because Judas has already left. And he's pulled them aside, walking to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he is giving them just the last minute instructions so they could survive without him and his guidance here on this earth physically. John chapter 14. How are they going to survive without Jesus? How can they go without his physical guidance and his miracle work? John 14, verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Remember, the idea of doing it in the name of the Lord carries the idea that we're saying Jesus authorizes this. This is what Jesus would want. And we could with confidence say this is what Jesus wants. Amen. That we can go up to the Lord and say, Lord, even though you're up in heaven, your Holy Spirit's down here, your miracle power has not diminished. The disciples over the last 3 years have been dependent on Jesus' miracle power. Now that it's gone, how are they going to survive? They can still ask him just like they did before. Remember the feeding of the 5,000? Jesus, can you do this? Yes, I can. Just going up to him just as if Jesus was right there in front of them, his miracle power still exists. And they could survive without them. Notice that God even wants glory in the church, that the church itself, the local independent churches, can trust in God. Ephesians chapter 3. Aren't you glad there are so many verses that back up the same idea? Over and over, God wants us to get across in our minds that God can do anything and everything, that nothing is impossible with God. Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse 20. Now unto him that is able. Notice that phrase, he is able. Aren't you glad that he is able? Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. Now notice we have two descriptive terms right before this above. Exceedingly, abundantly. It's not that God could do it above. He can do it exceedingly, and he can do it abundantly above. All that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. That's the Holy Spirit, by the way. Unto him, Jesus, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all the ages, world without end. Do you know that we could trust God? And that I'm so thankful that God's prayer answering ways is not dependent on what I can think or what I could ask. Because my thinking is so limited. That's the whole thing with problem that we're having in the first place. My thinking is so limited that I can't even trust God for big things. God is able to do above that which I could even believe he could do. And he wants to answer it exceedingly, abundantly above. So he can get the glory. So we could say, look at what God did, by the way, in the church. God wants to do something in this small little church that people say only God could have done that. Amen. We can't explain it. God says, I know. I've got this. God wants to show what a great God he is, that he is able. By the way, what type of prayers can be asked and answered? Hebrews chapter 11. It's a good question. Is God limited? What type of prayers is God limited to? Well, notice if you don't mind, Hebrews chapter 11, which is part of the Hall of Faith chapter. All these people through faith. Remember, that's how we see our answers prayed. Our prayers answered is through faith, believing in God. Through faith. What happened? What can be answered through faith? Open your mouth wide and let him fill it. How big is your mouth? Through faith. Notice this concentrated list of things that happened through faith. Verse number 32, Hebrews 11, 32. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell on of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms. Do you know, by faith, God answered impossible prayers and toppled kingdoms. Daniel prayed, and Babylon fell, and the Persian Empire took over. By faith. By the way, that wasn't the only kingdom that was toppled by faith. By faith. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness. We look at Esther. Esther, there was an unrighteousness going on. How did they overcome it? Through faith. They fasted in prayer. And God turned an unrighteous law and turned it around. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises. You look at someone like Abraham, who had a promise and he obtained a promise, an impossible promise. And he's not the only one. Over and over, people obtained promises through faith. Stopped the mouth of lions. We go back to the story of Daniel. Daniel was probably praying quite a bit when they threw him in the lion's den. And it wasn't that those lions were not hungry. They were very hungry. But God supernaturally stopped the mouths of the lions. Through faith. Daniel said, I'm going to trust you. And God says, all right. I'm going to prove that your trust in me is warranted. And he stopped the mouth of lions. Now, most of you aren't facing lions. Could you say that most of your problems are kind of below that? These people were able to trust big promises. Notice, quenched the violence of fire. You think of the three Hebrew boys. They were actually thrown into a fiery furnace and were walking around unscathed through faith. Most of you are not going to go to work and be thrown into fire. You may feel like it, but you know what? You're not getting cast in a little fire where they're trying to kill you. You know, all of our impossible prayers are kind of below that. If God is able to allow three Hebrew boys to walk through fire by faith, we could trust God for a little bit more than what we're doing now. Quench the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. So many Bible stories where someone was sentenced to death. You think of an Elijah. Jezebel said, I'm going to kill you, and God hid him. Our problems are not as bad as Jezebel trying to kill us. And he was able to trust God by faith. Out of weakness, we're made strong. There was so many things. You think of a Samson who's blinded, lost all of his power in one last prayer. And God was allowed him to buckle the entire pillars of Lambeau Field and all the pack. I mean, and they all fell. More Philistines died in that one instant than that had died at his hand before. And he'd already killed thousands of them. He was weak and God gave him supernatural strength to get accomplished his will. And his work. Most of us live in that weakness. But you know, you could be strong by faith. You don't have to stay in weakness. You could trust God by faith for strength beyond yourself. Not just physical strength. So many people now, you've told me about it, are weak here. I just can't go on, preacher. I don't know how to go on. I just can't. I'm just unable. But God is. Don't depend upon your own strength, your own mental strength, your own force of will. Trust in him for the impossible. Waxed valiant in fight. That word valiant carries with it a root word of being a veteran. That you were able to fight like a veteran. Now, in the spiritual battle, there's all it takes is someone to look sideways and all of a sudden, don't look at me. But to be able to fight with valiance as a veteran, to be able to be in a spiritual warfare and be able to not just like a novice who doesn't know what they're doing, but to be able to wax valiant in a fight, in a spiritual fight, to be able to stand and say, listen, I know that you don't like me passing out tracts, but there's no law against it. I appreciate your thing. I'm going to keep going. Instead of us, someone looking at us, oh, no, security guard, nope, I don't know what you're talking about. Most of us are cowards at heart. And that we're not willing to wax valiant. But God could give us bravery beyond and boldness beyond. Sometimes it's dealing with family. Nothing makes people back down quicker than family. I don't want to offend family. I don't want to whatever else. And there are times that God wants you to make a stand. Again, you have to depend on God's will to know when and where and it's the right place and the right stand. And to be able to do it as a veteran, not as a novice. We get in a lot of trouble because we try to make a stand at the wrong time, the wrong place, the wrong way. And then we just make everyone mad. Here it's the idea to be able to stand and fight like a veteran. Who knows what they're doing. Say, I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah, you could trust God by faith to help you in that fight when you don't know what you're doing. You know, these are prayers that we could put. These are things we could trust God that are impossible, that are too big for us. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. We feel like we're surrounded all the time. You know that by faith, all the people that are against us can turn to flight because they're afraid of our God. Not because of us, because they're afraid of our God. Why don't they do that? Because we're not even afraid of our God. We've lost a fear of him. He's not big in our eyes. We feel like the internet is bigger than God. The YouTube comment section is bigger than God. The Facebook posts are bigger than God. And we're not willing to believe our God is big. So if we don't believe our God is big, why should the enemies? Women received their dead raised to life again. That's a big miracle. Most of us have never faced that. That's a big impossible prayer. That God can do the impossible. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Now, we know that we're moving into the martyrs now. That there are people who were given the opportunity to be released from prison, released from torture if they would deny Christ. And they chose to honor Christ and continue to be tortured. And God delivered them. God worked with them. God gave them grace that they may obtain a better resurrection. You know what another big impossible prayer is? That I would have a better resurrection. Meaning that when I stand before God, that I'll have a better reward because I was able to trust him by faith. Not just living for here, but living for eternity. I was talking with Paul Swanky the other day, and we were talking about teaching preachers about preaching. And he said, there was a story. Some people had gathered, some preachers were gathered, and they were having a big conference about preaching for today, preaching for the times. And that's what a lot of people do. Preaching for the times, sign of the times, look at the times, oh, look at things on. And they're preaching for the times. And one preacher said, do you believe this? Oh, yes, yes, preach for the times. So he started going to the other ones. Do you believe this is true? Yeah, yeah, preach for the times, preach for the times. He says, you guys can preach for the times if you want to, but I'm preaching for eternity. Amen. Preaching for something bigger than the now. There's something we're going to face, and we're going to be at the millennial kingdom for 1,000 years. That's what we need to be preparing for. That's what we need to be looking for. That I have a bigger goal, an impossible goal, that I have a better resurrection than just making my life better now. With God, nothing is impossible. God wants you to open your mouth wide. He wants you to attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. The intent of this message is just to simply say we can trust a big God. How big is God to you? Is he bigger than your problems? Is he big enough for you to trust? Is he big enough and able enough for you to thank him in advance? Now again, without a doubt, when I'm preaching this, you have something running your mind. Without a doubt, there's some impossible prayer you know you've been wrestling with, and you've been looking at it, and you've been studying it, looking at the angles and saying, there's no way. Can you not only ask God by faith, but believe God by faith that he, again, I'm assuming that you've already examined, is it lined up with God's will? Again, praying for the red Lamborghini, you may not get the results you're looking for. But you could say, Lord, I can trust you. This is something I believe that would be a help. We know that we're in the local church is praying for an impossible goal. We're praying for $10,000 from other churches to show up. We can't do anything. We've done everything that we can. Now we're trusting that God would do that. You know, that's a scary idea. Depending on others. We like to do it ourselves, but depending on others. I meant to trust that God can work in their hearts and they could say, you know what? We have no problems giving. We want to be invested in this. We want to help out. Amen. Now, do we believe that God wants to do something in this draft? Do we believe that God can do amazing things even beyond what we can think and ask exceedingly abundantly above? Can we thank God in advance for receiving what we do not have, nor any hope humanly saying? Now, I'm giving an example, but you have something that you've been thinking of in your life. Maybe it's a person. Maybe it's a problem. Maybe it's physical. Maybe it's in your mind. Maybe it's just something and you just said, I don't know what to do about it. Can you trust God with it? Take your hands off to say, Lord, whatever you'd have me to do, and I'm going to trust you enough to thank you in advance and believe it. Not just say, I'm saying thank you, Lord, because Pastor told me to, and just talk to God until you say, you know what? You've got this. Can you trust God for the impossible? Can you trust God for you to open up your mouth wide and allow God to fill it? Once again, I ask the question, how big is your mouth? Some of you will probably choke on a marshmallow. Can you trust God? Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.